more. Okay, come on, say it like you mean it. There is more. God's doing more things. And for those of you that walked in this morning, you may have seen, how many of you, just be honest, when you walked in, you actually noticed the banners and the things that were on the wall, like for real, yeah. Right? Okay, number one, what does this teach us? We need to be more aware, okay, of what's going on. Because anytime God begins to bring a shift into the atmosphere and you begin to see it put up plain and clear before you in the church, that means that God's doing something for you that wants to shift you in your spiritual walk with Christ on a daily basis. So what I'm asking is, number one, that we become more aware that there is
more.
Okay. When you think about there is more, I think probably that most of our thoughts go to, man, God's ready, getting ready to bless me, or I've been waiting for more in my life for a long time, or I can't wait to see what more is in store for me. Anybody in the room, when you think of this saying and we're putting out there is more, do you think of those things? Yeah. Yeah. Right? You think of, man, there's more coming, because most of the time when we talk about something being more, we think, wow, something's getting ready to be added, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't say there is less most of the time, right? Unless you're subtracting from something. When we say there is more, it means that things are going to be added unto you, right? How Absolutely. Many of you would like for things to be added in certain areas in your life right now, okay?
Absolutely.
Right? The Bible even says it this way in Matthew 7:11. It says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? If then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I mean, it's plain to see right there. What does it say? How much?
More.
Oh, what? How much?
More.
How much more will your Father in heaven give? So when we come in and we see these signs, I love, one person said it to me. One person said it. She said, man, I'm expecting more. Right when I walked up to her, I was like, you notice what's going on. God's going to do something, right? So we come in asking, expecting and ready to receive more. When we begin to transition and shift, that's what more makes you think.
Yeah.
But as I was studying, God began to speak to me and he said, but there is more. Did you hear the line I put in there? Or the word, the little word, but? Nobody likes to hear that. There is more, but. There is more to it than that. There is more, and this is what God wants us to tell you today as we kick off the platform of there is more. And I want you to get this in your heart. He said, there is more because he is more.
Yeah.
There is more because he is more. I don't know if you're hearing the word. There is more because he is more.
I think we cap God too many times. We put this lid on him thinking that, like, that's all he can do. He spoke it all into existence. He's more. He's so much more. But we limit God in our lives thinking that, well, that just can't. Or lack of. Because he's so much more. We put it into a, we almost shun God in a way. Like, well, he could, you know, maybe he can do that for somebody else. Or maybe this, or maybe that. And we forget that, like, God has so much more to give, so much more for you, so much more for your life. And I think at times we feel like we don't have this, like, space for it. Like, I love God, but how can I stretch that out? How can I have more? When we had the girls and then Zion was coming, how can I stretch that out in my life? And feel like I can give more. How do I love Zion the way I love my two girls? Like, how can I share that? I don't even know what to do. And what's crazy is, as time happens, it just starts naturally happen when you quit thinking about it and quit overthinking about, like, how can I distribute this love I have for my children and just let it naturally take its place? God does that. He's so much more, so much greater.
But I think it goes to the fact of realizing, again, there is more because he is more. And I believe that we can ask all these questions. We can focus on what more God's wanting to do. We can focus on what more that we need and we want in our lives. But if we don't focus on that God is the more in the first place, then we're going to miss what more he wants to do in us. Because if you look at the scriptures, Matthew 7, 7 through 8, in the ESV before Matthew 7, 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. But there, these are the direct verses above when it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But I think when we think about this verse in 7, 7 through 8, the more behind these verses is this. You can't just read these verses and be like, oh, well, that means that whatever I ask, literally, God's going to do whatever I want. Yeah. That is not how God works. He's not somebody who just wants to give you what you want. He's somebody who wants to put you in his will so that you can get what you need out of him and through him and from him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not a... what, like a Pez machine? You remember them old Pez candy dispensers and you open the head and just candy pops it? Some of you who, you know what I'm talking about? Those of you who are young, Pez is still around, man? That's pretty cool. Well, Pez candy machines that open, you know, and you're just like, hey, I tip the head back and whatever I need at that minute, it pops out. Well, God's not like a candy dispenser. You know, we come in and we see the sign that says there is more. So then we get this, well, I want this and I need this and I have to have this. And our thoughts go to the more that we are looking to instead of looking to the more of who he is first. He is more. And if you miss that point, we're going to get in trouble. And the more behind these verses is that, number one, God is your focus and his kingdom is your priority. He's your focus. You have to realize that in this spot, God is your focus and his kingdom is your priority. Number two, you have to recognize and acknowledge God's fatherly love. If you don't acknowledge that God is love, that he is the more, then you are not seeking and asking in the proper manner. You ever had a kid who doesn't treat you right? Are you watched kids who don't treat their parents right, but anytime they need something, they come around, or grandparents or family members? You know what I'm saying? Anybody, don't raise your hand, please. Anybody got that family member who comes around and they don't respect you, they don't want to be around you, but when they need something, they need something, and it's always more than what you are expecting. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because a lot of times they say, what do you want? Because you know they act out of their character.
Well, they're that type of person that you don't tell them you got your tax refund back yet. Nope, I didn't get it yet.
Oh, can I borrow $20?
You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing against that. But when we come asking and expecting and knocking and seeking in the wrong manner because we don't realize that he is more in the first place and the goodness of him without adding anything to that, as a good father, we don't recognize his love. We don't focus on his kingdom. We just focus on what he can do and give us. Then we have a problem and we are like those family members that God is like, oh, please. Can they just get it? Don't you just want to know me? Don't you want to just get to be around us? I mean, don't you want to just become part of the family and just be here? Because isn't that enough for you? God desires that.
Yeah.
The third thing that we need to realize in these verses is that making sure that what you are asking is in alignment with his will and not yours. Mm. You have to ask yourself, and this is really hard. Okay, let's put it in basic terms. Can we just go basic today? Simple things, right? You may need a new car, okay? That is a basic need that you might need to get back and forth to work. But you may see this car that's like $30,000, and then you see this car that's a used car for like $8,000, and God's going, what do you really need from me? You know, what are you asking for? And so you're looking and you're going, oh, well, I need that $30,000 car, God, because I need that car to get me to work because it's nice and all these things. And God's trying to tell you, but you don't need that payment. But you don't need that insurance payment. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to get you in trouble. And then you're going to come back to me and you're going to ask me, God, help me get out of this situation, when my will is just trying to tell you, take the $8,000 car that's in front of you and be happy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God is that simple. And when we begin to go asking, seeking, and knocking, we have to be ready to hear his answer and accept it. Because in reality, he's more. Just because you got an $8,000 car, $5,000 car, I don't care if it's a $2,500 car. Number one, does it get your hind end to work? Yes. Number two, are you thankful that you have what you need and that God provided? I don't think God will ever give you more when he's never more than enough for you.
That's why it says to be faithful with the small things. God is always in that. That's the business. He has so much he wants to give. I'm just waiting on God. And it's funny because a lot of times we say that and we're like, we're waiting on God. But it's like, he's waiting on us. There's times where we're so selfish and we make these decisions at times. Like, there's more. She read the scripture. It was ask and you will receive, and seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be open. You know, God's got something more for our lives. And what he's ever desired, what hurt his heart was when Israel didn't have a king. And that's not what hurt his heart, is when they were crying about it, saying, we need a strong lad that could help lead us. He's like, am I not enough? Am I not more enough? More than enough? I'm more. Yeah. Am I not enough? And he tried to grant them their first king. And it's an unfortunate thing, because when we realize it, it's just, we just need God. Yeah. We need all of God. And in the end, God will provide everything that is needed for us. Because he knows. He knows our hearts. He knows the desire of our hearts. Now, when they say, hey, we're getting more, man, I can't wait to get more. But there's the flip side to that, because if you want more, it's going to take more. Yep. I mean, the scripture says it pretty clear. If you're ask and you will receive. So there's your part. You got to ask. And then there's this other part. It's knock. And the door will be open. I'm just tired of knocking. I don't want to knock. I just want it to be open. Seek and you will find. I'm tired of playing games. I don't want to seek. Can it just be right here in front of me? And see, then God's trying to give you and want to do something, realizing, like, look, I'm just more. That's just me. That's why when God was walking in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, and then they wanted more. I guess that one tree looked really good. They wanted more. And then they go and hide themselves. And God's basically saying, am I not enough? Where are you? Hello, Adam. Where are you? Eve. Where are you? Eve. Adam. Now, you know for a fact that he knows where they are. He put everything in its place. And he knows every intention. But he was wanting them to know where they were. Brandon, where are you? Hello? Daniel, hello? Where are you? This wasn't like a quick game hide and seek. When he's calling it out, he's trying to get you to understand where you are. And see, if God could just be enough for everything we desire, and we're going to dig deep into all this stuff, and I promise you don't want to miss a week, because it's going to be incredible, because there is more. There's more for the church. There's more creativity. There's so much more. But when you realize that just God himself is enough to do it all, that you ain't got to go hide in the fig tree. You ain't got to cover yourself with stuff that would hurt you. You ain't got to do any of that. God's even doing the opposite. He's doing the seeking. I wonder where they are. He knows where you are. He's knocking. Is he asking you to knock? But doesn't it say that he knocks on the door of the heart?
And isn't he asking where you are so he can receive the answer as well?
Well, what that says to me is that it's two-sided then.
Absolutely.
It's two-sided. That's
the whole thing.
But the problem is when we hear these kind of statements, there is more, we automatically go to the one-sided thinking God's going to do all the work and give us everything that we need. And this is not the truth. This is a new reality for us in the spirit and in our lives that there is more, but God, it's two-sided. There's more from you that God's going to require, and there's more that God wants to do, and there is more God is doing in our hearts, in the church, in our city, but we have to understand, for us to receive more, he is the more.
Yes.
That he is the more in the first place. And the reason that we go to God shouldn't be because we are continually asking for more money, more house, more love, more favor, more health, more fulfillment, more. We should be going to God because he is the more in our lives, and all the other things are out of the overflow of the more we spend in his presence.
Well, prime example of it just keeps hitting me on these things. There was a time where I was asking God to do something in my life, and I was trying to force it so much. God, you got to do more. Like God's not doing enough. If you could just do more, God, if you would just do this for me, I will do this the rest. Like he's not done enough, son. It's weird. He's on the front row. Like he's not done enough. And what's crazy is there was a moment when I was younger, and it was talking about, they were praying, and they were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And speaking in tongues and the evidence of that. And there's a lot of people that have these ups and downs with this, which is funny to me because you're good with a donkey talking, but when you talk to God in an unknown language, you're messed up about that. So you're good with the animal talking and animals bringing cheeseburgers to people, but you're not good with the communication with God. Okay. Anyway, side note there on that.
But he really wasn't bringing cheeseburgers. So
I know they weren't bringing cheeseburgers.
Don't freak yourself out.
It was just the youth talk.
I could just see somebody
manna, not cheeseburgers, just manna. But if I was wanting
cheeseburgers in the Bible,
I wanted a steak. God, come on. You know, like, here's a Big Mac and fries. But how crazy is the fact that that stuff was happening, and they still wanted more, and weren't satisfied with just what they had. Long story short on this, I'm praying, I'm like, God, I want to have that, I want that. And you know, some people have done it so many ways of like saying, like, you almost feel like you wasn't going to heaven if you didn't have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't know if anybody else has felt that, but it just was so, I remember going to youth camp and Wednesday night was the get the Holy Spirit night. Remember, Kurt? Remember those nights? Every time we would go to camp and stuff, and then they just touch your belly, and they're like, it's going to roll up out of your bed. I wish I had a Honda. And you're like, I don't want a Honda. You know, like, I want God. I don't want a Honda. I don't want to. And the reason I'm telling you all this about wanting more of God is that I had to quit looking at the situation at hand and just say, God, I don't want the gift. I just want you. And because I got him, and it was me and him alone at the altar, nobody else, nobody praying, nobody anointing, just the cry of my personal heart saying, you're more than enough by yourself. Amen. Guess what happened? Something started to shift in my soul, and I couldn't help but something was coming out of my mouth that I have no idea was coming out of my mouth and didn't even understand it. But it was that moment. It was that moment that shifted everything. That was, I was focused on the gift that God was trying to give me. I needed to focus on the gift giver. And that's where this thing's all about. I was struggling with scoliosis in my back. And it was the same thing. And you try to get prayer. You got to be very cautious. And somebody set me on the edge of a chair, and they stretched my feet out. And then I remember going to a chiropractor, and he did the same thing, and my hips felt better. So he was saying that I was healed. And this guy was just saying, I just adjusted you. So now we got false healers in the house. And I said, God, I want to receive healing.
I want more of it. I believe it. I stand on your word. But it was in that moment where I was just like, I just need the one that can give it. All I need is him. So with the moment I laid and curled up on the floor and just said, God, just use me however you see fit. I just want you, whether you do it or not, even if you don't save me from the fire, I'm going to worship you anyway. Wouldn't you know, I go to the doctor and get an x-ray and my spine's straight up and down. Wouldn't you know it? I mean, that's powerful. The reason I tell you this, and it's a little expanded and there's a lot more to these stories because there's other stories, is the fact that we try so hard about all the things we want from God instead of just wanting God, because when you just get all of him, he will give you all of him. He will give you all of him. I just want God. That's all I want. I'm not trying to, because everybody's saying you need to do this and this, and I want to receive. I'm all about gifts. I love Christmas, man. You pile them on. I'll sit here and open them all day. But when it doesn't add up to what I want and I can't get it because I'm so focused on the gift, I've missed the giver.
Well, because you learned, this is why absolutely. I asked about looking at what was outside and seeing if you noticed the signs, because what happens is when you want more of God and you realize he is more, you begin to reverence him in the simplicity of all things. All things that you see, all things that you do, all things that you notice, you begin to reverence him in the simplicity of all things, because you remember and realize that all things are about him. All things are for him. All things are by him. All things are through him. All things are from him. You begin to recognize that, and you begin to say, just like he was saying, that God is enough. And I looked at the word more.
Yeah.
And it means greater, additional, further, bigger, stronger, more valuable. And I thought about that for a moment. I mean, I really had to ponder on it for a minute. And all of a sudden, I thought about it, and I thought, well, what is there that is greater? What is there that we know of that is more greater than God? What do we know of that can ever add up to God? What do we know that can ever go further than God, that is bigger than God, that is stronger than God, or more valuable than God? Is there anything that is ever more than God? No. There's nothing.
Not one thing.
He is the more.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I heard God say, he said, there is nothing that you can do to add in addition to me, but I can always add in addition to you. There's nothing we can do to add in addition to God, but he can always add in addition to us.
Amen. That's good.
He is the more.
That's all we need.
And the problem of it is I think we come, and it's great we have a servant's heart to want to serve God, but I think we continually come to him wondering what we can do to get more. It's not about what you can do.
No.
You can do nothing to get more in your life. You can try your hardest. And you can struggle with the more that you have because it's out of the will of God. Or you can humble yourself and say, there is nothing I can do to add up to you, God. But you are the added. You are the more. And that's all that I want. That's all that I desire.
Well, some people try to do good deeds to feel like they're going to get to heaven or check that box. And it's not like that. And let's just be real. We got to be careful in the church where people are serving and volunteering across America everywhere. That they just feel like, well, if I do that at church, I've done something. My works are going to help get me into heaven. No, no. When you call on the name of the Lord and you humble yourself and you say, forgive me of my sins, and you realize that you become now a fully devoted follower of Christ, that's what's going to get you into heaven. Not just doing a work. And I think what happens is people get trapped in that. They say Christian. They want more of something that they just don't want the more that is God. They want the more that he can provide or see. And so we get stuck in this mode of like, I checked off Christian. I got a Christian, you know, fish on my car eating Darwin. You know, I got this Christian talk. But the reality is, going back to the mirrors, from what I say, does it reflect Christ?
Yeah.
Am I, my actions adding up to this whole thing? Because if they don't, all we're doing is basing our life off trying to find out the next gift that gets dropped from the sky and thinking that that's it. Here's your supply drop. The young kids like that because that's a Fortnite reference. Here's a supply drop. Here's all this. And it's not that. He's just like, can you just want me? Can I just be enough for you? Because I'll give you everything you ever desired. I'll give you everything. Peace that passes all understanding. But I need to understand it. But you don't. You just need his peace. Because what we try, we're so geared because we want more in all the different ways. And I'm not saying God's not going to give more, but he desires from the gate, right out of the gate, that you just desire him. Yeah. And let that peace that he has surpass everything else. Because if we don't, then what do? We're in our own flesh. We're in our own understanding. And then when we do that, then that's what stops us from receiving the more that he actually has.
Well, because your heart's not positioned in the right posture.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If your heart's not positioned in the posture to truly receive, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you really position your heart in the posture of receiving from God, which is saying, God, that you are more than enough, he is more than happy to pour down and open
Absolutely.
The windows of heaven to flood open on you. But you have to be positioned and realizing that he is the more. I think we keep saying this, but I think we need to get it in your head that he is more, period. He is more. And I looked in Genesis 1:1, and God said, go to Genesis 1:1, and I opened it, and it said, in the beginning, comma, God. In the beginning, comma, God.
Is there any more?
There's more, but it doesn't really matter. Because guess what? In the beginning, God.
Absolutely.
You know what that means? That means that the word beginning means the point, literally in the dictionary, the word beginning means the point in time or space at which something starts. In the beginning, the point in time and space when everything started, God was there. God was the more. God breathed from his more and created more.
So
God
good.
Was the beginning. Period. What more do you want? In the beginning, God. This verse points to the fact that all things had a real beginning and they started with God. And you know what God began to tell me? God is time. You want more time? If you want more time, you have to realize he is time. If you want more, you have to realize he is more. If you need more life into your body, you have to realize he is life. You have to realize that all things that you have begin with God. If they don't, you are in trouble.
Well, you know, babe, a lot of people give an excuse saying, I just struggle to have more time with God. And it's a battle and it's a fight to get more time with the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this. I've experienced it here. I've experienced it in my own personal time. But there's been moments where you're just lost in God's presence and you have no idea where time went. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. You have no idea where time went. What I realized in that moment is that my mind was clear. I wasn't preoccupied with anything else, but just having God. Because when I try to make time for God and my mind is still preoccupied and my hands are still on this cell phone, then that time is going to get a little fidgety because I can't fully devote my life in that moment to God because I got everything else rolling through my mind. But when you release yourself and say, he's just enough that I need to spend time, you get lost in God's prayer, I promise. And if you've never experienced that, I promise you this, you could go and it'd be hours, hours. Now we're struggling to tell teenagers and adults, like, just spend like 5 minutes, you know, reading your Bible, saying a prayer, you know, do it for 1 minute and 1 minute talking to God and 1 minute. We're going less and less every time now to people. Just try it for 30 seconds at least. We're talking hours, just lost in God's presence. And when you next thing you know, you look up at the dumb clock that reminds you that you're hungry. You say, don't worry. When I paint this room, that's all gone. I don't care about that.
But
thing.
I think what happens is when we don't spend time with God, we lose time.
That's the key. God's presence is on another time schedule.
Yep.
It's our mind that gets trapped up because we're trying to get somewhere, but we're like, you know, I'm praying, and then when you start praying for somebody, then you start focusing on their problems, and then now you're gossiping in your own head to yourself. I just wish they would just get that together. God, you know what I'm talking about, God. You know, like, I can't believe they just, man, if they would just do that right, my God, they just wear me out, God. There's nothing wrong with talking to God, but when you're so consumed about the other situations at hand and not just getting more of God, just having more with him, you're going to lose that time. It's going to be lost. But when you detox your mind, like I said, and realize that he's all you need, time stands still. That's why we could do worship at times and we get on the same page, and after we try to like figure out notes and stuff, and we just shut it down sometimes. It's like, let's just worship. Next thing you know, it's hours. We're here on Wednesday night, and sometimes we've left at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and we've had a full outblown worship set. Ain't none of you in here. But it wasn't for you. We just had the king walk down the aisle, and we just had a moment with the king. And I think that's what he's desiring. And so that your time management, it ain't worrying about blocking a scheduling out for God. Are we like that now? Like every breath has to be wrapped around him anyway.
Well, we want God to work to our timing in what we want. So we want the more to come to us in the timing that we want. And I think,
and that's why we
going
struggle.
Back to in the beginning. So if you can tell yourself that, when you begin to talk to God about the things that you need or that you want, because you can talk to God just like you said about anything, but I think you need to stop yourself and say, in the beginning, God, that's all I want. And whatever time frame you want, whatever you want to do, I'm going to talk to you because you're my friend and I can talk to you like that. I can tell you all these kind of crazy things because you're the only one who knows me. But I'm going to stop and set myself to say, in the beginning, at this point in time in my life that I'm at, it starts with you. The more starts with you because you are more. And what I love about that is that in Exodus 3:14, when God began to speak to Moses at the burning bush, it says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am. See, what happens is when you start with God, and you start in the beginning, God, at this point in time, God, I start with you. Guess what? He begins to respond to you. I am who I am. And you can say to anybody in your life, the I am has sent me and done whatever he wants to do. I am is in charge. Do you know what this really means? This really means that there is no one with more power. There's no one with more authority. Yeah. And there's no one with more dominion over all things. He is the I am who is ever present and active in our lives. And there is no one more faithful than he. Yeah. Isaiah 45:5-7 says it this way. I am the Lord and there is no one else. There is no God except me. I will arm you though you have not known me so that people may know from the rising to the setting of the sun. There is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no one else. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating disaster. I am the Lord who does all these things.
Yeah.
I am the more. I think what's hard is we've forgotten to position ourselves in the holy place like Moses did. To stop and recognize him.
Yeah.
Moses had to, God stopped him and said, you need to take off your shoes at the burning bush. Now, I don't know any of you. I mean, we got bushes out front. I never been here, and they said, on fire, and God started talking to me like that. But I have been in places in my home. I have been in here at times. I've been in the bathroom at times. I've been anywhere. I've been in the store at times where all of a sudden, because my mind is focused on him, I can hear him saying, you're on holy ground. Just stop for a moment. I want to talk to you because I am the I am, because you chose to, in the beginning, the start of your day, say, in the beginning, God, period, I start with you. There's nothing else. So now when I go along through my days, I can hear when God's speaking to me in the burning of my heart saying, I am that I am.
Moses struggled, and obviously Pharaoh definitely struggled with it. Tell him that I am sent. I am what? And you, now you can see this conversation of trying to figure out, well, what's his name? I am. I am what? And trying to figure it out and decipher it. And this is where we get going again. When God starts to talk to you, we try in our best to think that we have a better knowledge of what he's trying to say than what he's saying. If we just obey exactly what he is trying to say in general, you go a lot further. I am. And when it all summed up, it's I am more. I am more. More incapable of delivering the people. More incapable of doing this. This is what I said. I am. Has sent. I am has sent me. I am.
Well, because he was all things.
Yes.
And in him is all things. And I think that's the simplicity.
And that's what messed it all up, because they were thinking, because they had this God of this and this God of that. And Pharaoh had all these other people with their gods of this. And he's like, I am. And that's what's so good about God, is because, like, you can go back and try to dig some bones up, but there's one grave, you're not going to find anything. Because he said what he said and did what he did. And he lives within us. And so all he wants to do in the end is dwell in us. Just, he wants to feel. I've said this so many times. I probably need to write a book on it, honestly. Just the realizing that how valuable you really are. If the I am wanted to dwell in a tent of meetings, then the I am wanted to be in the Ark of the Covenant, and the I am wanted to dwell in the temple of Solomon. And then here comes Christ. And he's like, I just want to dwell in the very thing I got on the knee for and created. You're so valuable to host the presence of God in your life. When you accept him as Lord and Savior, you're just saying, there's more. I just want more of him. I don't want his gifts. I just want him, and all that comes with it. If a child gets adopted into a family, we don't segregate the child from what they could receive from that family. What is theirs is the kids. So when you know you're adopted into the family of God and you're a part of the kingdom, the problem we face is we don't realize who we are. We don't realize that we're royal. Man, what if we started acting like we were royal people, actually? Princes and princesses of the King of Kings. And we walked around with authority, not prideful, just authority to know that the king sent me to do this. But we don't know who we are. And we say we call on the name of the Lord, but we are so skittish in ourselves because we don't know who we are. And if he dwells within you, it's not the tent. It's not the ark. It wasn't Solomon's temple. It's you. I mean, you couldn't even go in there. If you touched the ark, you would die instantly. He's like, I want to go ahead and shift this whole thing. I just want to go inside your soul. I want to live inside of you, your heart, your temple. There's more, church. God wants to just put more in you of him. And all this other stuff that we're desiring for the church and for our personal lives and for our family, all stuff will come. But if this doesn't get in order first, knowing that we just need more of, we just want God. And this temple is wide open for him. I didn't got to put him on two poles and put me on a couple poles and walk me around because he dwells within me, and or get some priests with some bells and some rope and maybe get behind in the temple behind the curtain and hope to God you still hear the bells or he died because the presence of God was so strong. All that mattered. But then he says, I just want to put myself in the everyday person. Yeah. The Jews, the non-Jews, anyone who will call on my name, you are my temple I want to dwell in. That's what he desires. That's the more. Do you want me? Well, he wants me to live in you.
If you realize that the I am lives in you, then you will realize that he's valuable and so are you.
Absolutely.
If the I am lives in you, then you will have an understanding that he is valuable. There's nothing more valuable than him.
No.
Which means that there is nothing more valuable to him than you. If he created you that way, he wants to do things in you. And it's more coming to the more I acknowledge that he is more in my life, the more I begin to realize that there is more in me, there is more from me, there is more through me, and there is more for me that he desires to do. If you look at all around, these are the taglines that God's given us for the posters back there. I have it for the screens up here. There is more in you. There is more from you. There is more God wants to do through you. And there is more for you.
Yeah.
But until we recognize that he first is the more,
he's more,
we're going to struggle. The more that God is within me, the I am, creates more in me that he can use for his purposes. The more that God is within me, this is the biggest thing. Number one, the more that God is within me creates more in me that he can use for his purpose.
Absolutely.
Number two, the more God places in me, the more he will require from me.
Powerful.
Number three, the more God receives from me gives him more space to move through me.
It's good.
The more God receives from me gives him more space to move through me. And the more he can move through me, this is number four, the more he can move through me, the more he can do for me. The more he can move through me, the more he can do for me.
Yeah.
With God, there will always be more because he is more. There will be more lessons to be unfolded. There will be more joy and hope to be found. There will be more visions to be given, more work to till the ground, more healing for the sick and strength for the weary. There will be more souls to be saved, more hearts to be mended, more, more, more. The more you realize who he truly is, the more you can come to know who you truly are.
Yeah.
Because with God, there is always more because he is more.
Yeah.
When I choose to spend a greater amount of time seeking him and more of who he is, I begin to see the unfolding in my spirit. This is the place where I am less offended by what he wants from me because I have come to realize he is more than enough for me. This is the place where I am less offended by what he wants from me because I have come to realize he is more than enough for me. When we doubt the I am and forget the more that he truly is, we are left constantly searching for more because he has yet to become the more we hunger for, want, and need. In Psalm 86, 8 through 10, it says it this way. There is no God like you, O Lord. Not one has done what you have done. All the nations that you have created will come and bow down to you. They will praise your greatness. You are mighty and do wonderful things. You are God alone.
Yeah.
And you know what God spoke to me in these last couple days? He said, you know, I know you read your word and I speak through you and I speak to you directions through my word of what you need. And I answer you because this is your map. But he said, why don't you start taking some time just to find who I am and read the verses of the more about me? Read the things that say the greatness of who I am. Read the ones that talk about the splendor of who I am. And that no one cannot bow before me. That I am the greatest thing in earth. And God began to really hit me. And sometimes we do this, do we not? That we begin to get in this word because we're like, I just really need an answer for what's going on in my life. But when was the last time we just picked it up to be like, you're more, and I want to know more about who you are and the more of you.
Yeah.
I want to know the greatness of you and the splendors of the heavens and the earth that meet and touch together and hit. Like it says, again, in 86, 8 through 10, Psalms 86, all the nations that you have created will come and bow down to you. They will praise your greatness. You are mighty and do wonderful things because you alone are God. See, God's more than an icon. He's more than a remarkable historical figure. He's more than a motivational speaker. He's more than a pop culture trend. He's more than a rebel. He's more than a message given by your favorite speaker. He's more than the lyrics to a song. He's so much more. He is more than a figure you wear on a necklace or a sticker on your car. He is more than a man you idolize and pray to when you want things. He is more than a Sunday service. He is more than an answer to your prayer.
Amen.
He is more than just forgiveness, mercy, and grace. He is the great I am, and more than that.
Amen.
He's more.
Hallelujah.
He's more. Anything you can think of that you can even talk about with him, he's more than that.
Yeah.
Yep. He's more than you can ever fathom. We have to realize that there is more to be done in me and more in me than I truly know. Yeah. To see the more come to fulfillment, the more from me will be required. There's always more I can give God of myself until there's nothing left.
Yeah.
There is more God can do through me if I give him space to do so. And the less of me, the more through me he'll be seen. There's more he'll do for me when he becomes more than enough, period. And I want to challenge you with this as they get ready to play. Instead of asking God for more things, realize two things. Basic. Number one, he already knows and knows what you need. He already knows and knows what you need. And number two, he is the more your life requires to receive all good things. He already knows. And I found myself saying lately, when I go to God, God, you know. You already know. So what you know, let it be known. You already know. So let what you know be known. Because in reality, you are more than enough. And you are the answer. And you are God. So I don't really need to ask you anything else, but just say your name and say, God, you know. You know. You know my needs. You know my heart. You know my wants. You know my desires. You know the content of what's going on inside my head. You know all my thoughts. You knew every part of me before I was even formed in my mother's womb. I don't need to come to you with a lot of the wish list that I have for the mores. I just need to come to you and say, God, you already know, and the requirement to fill what is already known and my need is just you. You. You alone are worthy.
Before we get out of here, I'm going to have the host come up real quick. They probably didn't know they was coming. But if you, a couple of you, not all of you, it doesn't matter. I have these posters I want to give out per family. Hang it on your refrigerator. Hang it somewhere where everybody can see it in your house. Do me a favor. Take a picture of it and tag the church. It's everything we just talked about. We got to get a visual of this. I'm going to hand, just split them up. And whatever's left, we'll just put on the table back there. Just split them up to all them who's here. Split them up, and just they're just going to walk around and give it per family. I don't know who's all here, so I want you to know, like, there's more for your life. We put all kinds of stuff on the fridge. Put it somewhere where you're going to always see it. We were very intentional on how we put stuff in the room, on the sidewalls and stuff. And I really felt the need to print these off and say, you know what? Not everybody is here all week. So let's give some for the house. Let's put some on the home. And do me a favor, if you're on social media, take a picture of it and, you know, just talk about it. Tag the church. Before we leave, I'm gonna ask you guys to stand. And we're gonna get into we're gonna sing a song real quick. And I hope you're ready. If I can say it like that, I hope you're ready. Because this ain't one and done. We're about to dig into all these little, everything on that poster, all those, we're going to get into some of that. And I promise you, you better get ready. Because we're getting into a season of what God is calling us to do, and we're going to make some change. Things are happening. Things are changing. There's more, church. There's more, church. There's more. You know what? I want to take a picture. Can you hold those up for me real quick? I just want to capture a moment of this. Hold them up for me. I want to see them.
Hold them up high.
I just want to see them because I want to get a pic of this.